We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
The morning show, you love
that! I get more nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now!
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a girl?
There you go!
It's the world's most dangerous morning show!
Cut the cameras, I'm out the
What kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club with DJ Envy,
the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Wake up, wake up. Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Get it off your chest, mama.
Okay, so we sitting in the car waiting for Charlamagne to yo this morning, and he's hitting
active. And then just walking here like I just been here the whole time, huh?
Exactly. So you gonna give it to us, and Charlamagne, this is E from the lodge on the 7th floor. You gave me my book bag that I grabbed
before. Oh, okay, Queen. How are you?
I'm good, and I just want to tell you I miss you and tell Wax I'm so excited.
I'm going to tell him right now. Well, he probably can hear you. He's probably listening. He downstairs.
Okay, KK.
Yo, 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 yo.
It's a little late.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't ring the same.
Have a good morning.
That wasn't for y'all. That was for her.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
What's up, Eddie? Get it off your chest, man.
All right. First, I'd like to say, congratulations to Charlamagne on his new show. I just wanted to ask him one question briefly about that.
Yes, sir.
The theme is on point. I appreciate the theme, and I appreciate the opportunity to bring us some good stuff. But as far as your approach is concerned, what age group are you trying to get? Because I'm an old timer, and sometimes the approach misses me, but the theme I understand.
Oh, I don't know, bro. I'm 43 years old. I just be up there talking, man. You know what I mean? If it's for you, it's for you. If it's not, it's not.
Okay, and one more brief comment I wanted to make as far as the racism thing is concerned. And like I say, I'm not advocating any particular religion or whatnot, but one thing that I was proud of the Nation of Islam, they said we need to just separate and get our own land or whatever you want to call it and just totally separate and start from the bottom.
Oh, yeah, I'm not opposed to that at all, sir.
All right. Well, y'all do a wonderful job. I'm a native of Brooklyn, but I'm living in Charlotte, North Carolina right now. I listen to y'all every morning, and I appreciate y'all. Y'all keep up the good work.
Hello, who's this?
This is Jalen Barthel.
What's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
Today my birthday, and I just want to shout myself out. I turned 15 years old today.
Okay. Happy birthday, King.
Thank y'all so much. I'm sitting up here listening now.
Okay. What you doing for your birthday?
Yeah. Me and my mama, we riding out of town this weekend. We going with my cousins. We going to the fair in Tallahassee.
Okay.
Congratulations, King. Enjoy your day, man. Life is a blessing, all right?
Charlamagne.
Charlamagne. Yo, yo, yo.
Peace. Appreciate y'all, man. Y'all enjoy y'all day, man.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, I'm Brittany, calling from Tampa, Florida.
Hey, Brittany, get it off your chest.
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe I got through. I just want to shout you guys out. I listen to you guys every day. Angela, I just love everything about you. Your soul, you're so beautiful.
Thank you.
Charlamagne, everything you're doing for mental health and DJ MV. I love how you're such a strong family man, and I just love you guys so much.
Yeah. But thank
I really
you, Queen.
Get off my chest. Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah, Team Cancer, Charlamagne.
Hey.
But I really want to get off my chest that, you know, I'm 32 years old. The biological clock is ticking. I'm, like, on dating apps. It's just hard to meet, like, a good Black king, and I'm just like, what else do you do? It's just, like, I work every day. I can't really, like, be out, going out, mixing, mingling, but it's like, I'm just kind of thinking about switching over outside my race at this point because I just feel, like, not valued by Black men anymore. I feel, like, overlooked.
Have you ever dated outside your race?
I've tried it, like, once, but it just wasn't my thing.
Look, I think you can't blame a whole race of men for the ones that you've met, you know, so I wouldn't give up on that. But I think you'll end up, at some point, finding the right person. Just don't rush it and don't make decisions just because you feel like your biological clock is ticking. You got to be with somebody. Don't give in to that pressure. But just understand that things can change in an instant, you know? And I am still a fan of, while apps are good, going out and living my life and meeting people like that.
Right, right. Thank you, Angela. I love you guys.
All right,
Queen.
Have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy. Yeah.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, what's going on? It's Cass.
Cass, what up, man? Get it off your chest.
I just want to get off my chest. Man, it's hella hard to plan in the weather. It's just stressful. And I thought it would be the misses that would be making it more stressful than anything, but it's the family. It's just,
yeah.
I don't know.
Why? What they doing?
Well, my mom is just intruding in everything. We asked her to just make reservations for the restaurant, and she's adding like 15 other people on, wanting to throw different other things in there and asking me to pay for it. I'm like, wait, you suggesting these things? Why don't you pay for it? Why don't I pay for it? I pay for everything else.
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult. I would let your wife handle it, brother, and just say yes and just take care of it. That's what I did for my wedding. I let my wife take care of everything, brother.
What happened to the father's wife paying for everything? Remember that used to be a thing that they used to tell us growing up? That never happened.
Bro, you should shut up. You got four daughters and I got four. We ain't doing that no more.
My father-in-law did donate a significant amount to me and my wife's wedding, though. That is a fact.
The only person that's helped out is her grandmother and her godmother, and they helped her with her dress and as far as some of the planning and everything, but everything else has been on me, and nobody else helped done nothing but me. So this is just crazy. Y'all mind if I shout out my wife?
You should. Yes, sir.
I just want to give a shout out to India Hawkins. This is from your future husband. Let you know I love you, baby. And we're about to spend the rest of our lives together, fantastic lives together. We're growing. We're going to elevate and get better through everything. I love
you. There
you
go.
Dope.
All right, brother. Have a good one, man, and good luck with everything. Hello, who's this?
Yeah, what's up? This is Anonymous.
Anonymous, what up? Get it off your chest, bro.
I know y'all can't see me, but I had a new name for your car show. It was going to be Carsellas. I got that because cars, that's what you do. That's what your show is. Sell, car sells what the person is trying to represent. And y'all is like everybody. Us, they, we, Carsellas.
Carsellas.
You was Anonymous to tell us that?
Carsellas. Yeah, I just wanted to get off my chest.
All right. Well, thank you, brother. You have a good day, man. Now, you know he didn't have to be anonymous to say that.
He definitely didn't. I don't even know why he did that. He must not want no smoke with a car. What's that place called?
I don't know. We don't know that place. Hello, who's this?
Yo, Big Chocolate to Toast Sucker. How we feeling, family?
Oh, gosh. Welcome back.
You got to change your name, bro.
Two quick things, right? First, the joke. What did Charlamagne say to Envy at a football game when they went?
Hike.
Can I put my hot dog between your buns? That's one.
Boo.
Angela Eve, listen, girlfriend, I saw you on Nick Cannon's TV show. You look good with your chubby cheeks, but you were afraid to sing at the end. So I make it on Nick's show, and I'll do this song for you. Angela E, can't you see? You're my fantasy. You got a lady's mustache, but plenty of cash. Yeah, you're just right for me. You like that, girlfriend?
That was amazing.
That was trash. He was horrible.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
Check out this Breakfast Club Rewind.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building today.
Yes, indeed.
Dr. Carl Hard, Columbia University professor. Welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Good
Thank
morning,
you.
Sir. Tell them a little bit more about yourself.
I'm a professor at Columbia. I also work at the New York State Psychiatric Institute, where I'm a research scientist. I've been doing that for about 25 years. Mm-hmm. Before that, I was at Yale, and before that, I was at the University of California, San Francisco.
Now, yes. We talked about you earlier this week because you were all over the news.
You got a book out.
And you were talking that you are an admitted heroin user.
Well, get to the book first. The book.
Just say what was all over the news. That's what I'm asking.
And I saw you on that crack
documentary.
Yeah. I saw him on that crack. Like, Jesus Christ.
Goodness gracious.
Documentary. It's great. You should watch it if you guys haven't seen it yet.
But the book is called Drug Use for Grownups, Chasing Liberty in the Land of Fear. Explain that title.
The real action is in the subtitle, Chasing Liberty in the Land of Fear. I use drugs as a topic to explore our own liberty. I'm a drug expert, so I use drugs. And I was trying to point out to people that the Declaration of Independence, for example, guarantees all of us three birthrights: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Correct.
As long as you don't mess with anybody else's ability to do the same. Now, what that means is that you can live your life however you choose. And I was using drugs as a topic. It's like, why should people care what you put in your body as long as you are a good person? And so in exploring this topic this past week, I realized that I'm an example of how moralistic we are, regardless of what kind of person you are. Mm-hmm. People will attack you if you engage in certain behaviors that have been deemed evil. Well, there was a time when homosexuality was the case. There was a time when black people were being attacked for just being black. Now, drugs, crack, or heroin is the evil thing to engage in.
Because those things hurt people, including the person using them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, great question. So
I didn't ask a question, but I made a statement.
Well, I was trying to save you, right? Mm-hmm. Because on the one hand, you should know that heroin is a medication that is approved for treatment. Heroin and morphine are essentially the same drug. Point is that heroin is a perfectly good pain reliever. It also induces euphoria and a wide range of effects that we desire, like pleasure. So when you say that it doesn't harm you, certainly it can harm you. If people overdo it and they don't know what they're doing, yeah, they certainly can be harmed, just like when you drive a car.
But is it addictive, though? Is heroin addictive?
Is heroin addictive? Certainly can be addictive. You drink alcohol?
Not really.
Well, people drink alcohol. Alcohol is addictive. In my book, I'm trying to help people to understand what makes things addictive. Not the substance itself, because as much as 75% of the people who use heroin are not addicted. They don't have any problem.
I always hear people say, well, I'm chasing that high I got the first time that I use it. Is that a real thing? Because I've heard so many people say that on documentaries.
Yeah, I know, because we are willing to accept that, right? It's certainly true. Like, just think of the first time you enjoyed an orgasm. It's like, it was amazing. For me, the first time, it's like, am I chasing the first time I had an orgasm? No, yeah. Of course not. But although I do.
I like that feeling.
I like that
but
feeling.
But orgasm can't kill me, can it?
What? Well, orgasm can't kill you? You certainly can get killed.
Can.
I mean, you think about
attacks.
Sexually translated diseases and so forth. Again, the title of the book is Drug Use for Grownups. I'm trying to have a grown-up conversation about drugs.
But that's why we're asking, because, you know, we don't know. Like, for instance, would you consider yourself addicted to heroin, or when is the last time you used heroin?
More than a year ago. I don't know.
Oh, so, okay.
But this is the thing.
Because the press makes it seem like you use it every morning, like you pop
up. For the past 5 years.
You click open the fireplace. And
but that's why we have you here to explain this. I want you to know we're not judging
you
in any way.
We're
bringing you here.
Asking.
To have the conversation.
Trust me, I appreciate it, and I know it.
What is the message you're trying to get across in Drug Use for Grownups?
All right, so you all know A$AP Yams, right?
Yes.
I mean, you know he died from what was termed a drug overdose, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When that brother died, his mom contacted me, and she gave me his toxicology report and showed me what was in the system. And it appears that he may have died from a combination of opioids and other sedatives. Mm-hmm. Now, for years, I have been writing that if you're going to use opioids, don't combine it with other sedatives like alcohol. People like promethazine. Don't combine your opioids with those drugs because it increases the likelihood of respiratory depression. So I made a promise to her that I would do everything I could to educate the public about this. And that's one of the main messages from the book. And this is the message that the New York Post does not say. And that's why I am. It upsets me so much when I have nothing but love and compassion and people are attacking me.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm watching your body language and I see you shaking. I'm like, okay, is he going through a withdrawal or is he upset about
something? Give me a break, man.
I'm being honest.
Come on, man. I mean, you know.
You're upset, clearly.
Yeah, you know, it's like, first of all, I have too much respect for you. Too much respect for you and too much respect for you. Not to come here and be correct.
All right, we have more with Dr. Carhart when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Roddy Ricch. What was your relationship with Juice WRLD?
We didn't really have that much of a relationship. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I did respect was when he brought me to Coachella and he played Cuz. And I was on stage and I got to share that moment with him. That's when I had, not to say I didn't respect him before, but I had, my respect had grew real deep for him because of the fact that he brought me to my first Coachella. We was out there, he like chopped it up. I came to the crib where he was at and was chopping it up. And when we got on stage, he did that. And I didn't even know he was gonna do that. Mm-hmm. It was just like, enjoy this moment. Like we was on stage, he was like, look, they seem like, and I just respected that from him. Because he showed love when he didn't really have to.
Damn, when you think about that moment now and you think about your record, Die Young, does that put that in a different perspective for you?
No, I feel the same. That's why I be telling people, it's real out here. Even after I done got famous, you know, I find myself going to my city and like that really happened. It's really a rundown on you. And you gotta always be prepared for that. If you ain't from that, then it don't apply to you, but it's real.
Taking you back with the classic rewind. It's The Breakfast Club. If you miss The Breakfast Club,
you don't come from my world. It's dangerous.
Check out this rewind.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Dr. Carhart.
You talk about you haven't used heroin in over a year and a half.
Yes.
Right? Of course, the news made it seem like you use it every day. So what gets you to the point where you have to use heroin? Like, is it socially? Is it something going on in your life? Is it just hanging out with the boys?
Or? You made it sound like smoking a cigarette. You're like, I sit by the fire. You said, I sit by the fireplace, and there's nothing like, better than doing a line.
Yeah, so what makes you do that?
You've also talked about the withdrawal that you have to go through from that too, which is not easy.
Right. So I'll answer this question. So one of the things that happens with heroin, as well as some other drugs, think of antidepressants in the same way. If you take heroin consecutively for weeks or months and then you abruptly discontinue, your body has grown accustomed to the drug being in it. And so as a result, when you abruptly discontinue it, you get withdrawal effects. And these withdrawal effects can be unpleasant. With alcohol, however, when you do this with alcohol, you might die. Whereas with heroin, you can't really die from heroin withdrawal. But with alcohol withdrawal, you can die.
And my fear is like somebody hearing this or reading your book and think it's okay. Well, it's okay. The doctor said it's okay to use drugs every once in a while. He said it's not bad for me to use drugs. It's just as bad as having, you know, I can die the same way from having an orgasm. That's my fear when kids hear that and people hear that.
Wait, did I say what you just said?
That's what it felt like.
No, I didn't say that.
I just want to know what your message is, just clear and plain.
Yeah.
What are you trying to get across in drug use for growing up?
I'm trying to tell people, for example, people who are using opioids, I'm trying to say the risk is really increased when you use street drugs and not, you know, you don't know what's in it. See if you can get it tested. It's important to know what's in your substance. And I'm saying to governmental officials, if you really cared about your population, you would have these drug checking facilities where people can submit small samples of their drugs and have them tested for purity. And then we will know if it contains any contaminants.
But yeah, I don't think I disagree with any of that, but I want to know, why not just spend the money and resources on helping people get clean?
and providing better opportunities for people. And if people are dealing with some type of real trauma, you know, giving them other methods instead of drug use. Because 9 times out of 10, when people are on drugs, it's not for recreation. They're doing it because they're going through some type of trauma.
And what he said, you can't go to CVS to go buy your heroin. You can't say, okay, you know, let me go get a, you know, some Welch's fruit snacks and let me get a side of heroin. You can't buy it. So you're telling people to test it. They're getting it from dealers because you can't buy it.
That's right. That's right. So if you're going to get it from dealers and so forth, make sure you can find some way to get it tested.
Do you enjoy drugs, Dr. Carhart? Do you enjoy drugs?
Some drugs I do, you know, that's otherwise, why would I engage in an activity that I don't enjoy?
Well, let's bring this home. I agree on the fact that drugs should be legal. I don't think people should be going to jail when they have an actual problem. You know, I agree with that. But as far as like just encouraging people to do it recreationally just because they're going to do it anyway, I'd rather personally get them some treatment. Personally, I'd rather get them some help.
I think he was saying that if people who are using it to be responsible, but he does say
not to use it. And I would rather get those people some treatment as opposed to encouraging them to just, you know, creating safe spaces for them to do it.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd rather get them some
help. Charlamagne, you ain't going to get an argument from me when you're talking about treatment, man. I mean, I'm with you. But that ain't what I'm saying. I'm not saying, yo, you should go out and do this. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there are people doing this. And how can I, as a responsible professional, help enhance the safety?
Absolutely.
That's it.
And I'm saying I would rather get those same people some help. I'd rather get them clean. Well, and provide them opportunity as opposed to providing a safe space for them to continue to do drugs.
Well, you know, I have tried that too. Mm-hmm. And I mean, with relatives and friends, and they basically said, like, get the out of here, you pedantic ass. You know, and so now I can't, they don't even talk to me. So there's no way I can even help because, you know, they're going to, as adults, mm-hmm. people will do what they're going to do. And so I've learned as a parent, you know, my number one goal is to get my kids home. Right. And so they will do their thing and I have to figure out how to help them do their thing as safely as possible and how to make sure they are good people.
Well, Dr. Carhart, we appreciate you for joining us this morning. Tell them the title of your book one more time, please.
Drug Use for Grown-Ups, Chasing mm-hmm. Liberty in the Land of Fear.
It was a great conversation.
Thanks for joining
Thank you
us
for having me, man. No, I really appreciate it.
I have no problem exchanging ideas, even if we don't agree on everything.
Correct. I really appreciate it. You don't know how much it means
but
to me.
But don't you overdose, because I swear to God, if you overdose, I'm going to give you the greatest donkey of the day I have ever written in my life. I promise you, okay?
Yo, that's a bet.
All right, well, thank you, Dr. Carhart, for joining us.
Wake up.
You're checking out The Breakfast Club.
Hey, what up, y'all? It's DJ Envy here. It's all fun and games till someone screenshots your message. Say goodbye to morning after guilt with Dat Chat. This new encrypted social platform can help you stay truly private. No screenshots, recordings, or leaked messages. Get Dat Chat for iPhone and Android at the App Store or find it at datchat.com/envy.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. So we're asking if you just join us. Well, let's play the clip.
So cheating respectfully to me is cheating where I don't find out, is having control over your other women, is using condoms and not having babies. Like, cheat respectfully, because believe it or not, your man is cheating. But I'm not leaving my man over a one-night stand.
I will only leave my man for three things. You bring me home an STD, you have a baby on me, or if you're gay. Everything else is workoutable for me. Yeah.
So we're asking 800-585-1051, is there a respectful way to cheat? I say no way, not a chance. If you cheat, it's definitely disrespectful regardless. I've been down that road. Charlamagne has been down that road.
Don't drag yourself. First of all, speak
You've
for yourself.
You've been down that road too.
I'll speak for myself. You speak for yourself, you bastard. All right?
I've been down that road. It's something
and
that
he's
I
like
regret.
Growing up in New York.
And nope. I'm not laughing. It's not funny. Don't make it a joke. Because that was what I did was disrespectful to my wife. It ain't funny. I don't even want to laugh about it. But
That's
no,
real.
There is no respectful way to cheat. All cheated is disrespectful. Don't laugh. I hear you laughing. Yeah, it's not funny.
Yeah.
Wait, what are you getting so mad for?
Because it's not funny.
Nah, I feel envy. You know what I'm saying? I don't think there's a respectful way to cheat. You know, when you go home to your significant, I can only speak for myself.
You know, as a man, when I'm going home to my wife, you know, a woman that I love, a woman that I say is my best friend, and you know, I'm a person who thrives on authenticity and being honest. You're not authentic. You're not honest. Nope. You're not real if you're lying to the person that you call your best friend, the person that you took vows with. So just for me, as you know, my guilty conscience wouldn't allow me to continue to do that. And you know, that's when you're just feeding your ego. I always say that, you know, when you're sleeping around with a bunch of different women, you're not doing it because you're unhappy at home. You're doing it because you're unhappy with yourself. And you know, you're feeding your ego. You got a bunch of insecurities.
There are levels. Like, imagine your man was paying for somebody else's rent in their apartment, or bought somebody else a house, or had this person in your home in your marital bed.
Can't do nothing to nobody, man.
Yeah, I'm not buying no house. You might pay some rent.
I'm just saying, things like that happen, and I do feel like that level is like, woo, because women have forgiven men for cheating, but when they take it to the next level where they're doing all kinds of relationship type things, spending holidays away from their family, speaking out. Wilding.
But a lot of times, mm-hmm. men just spend the money because it's hush money. You know what I'm saying? I'm paying.
But they
you
spend the time too. They not just spending the money. Like yeah. they spend the time. No, but imagine they got a key to somebody else's house. Well, you getting mail there. Yeah, then I got to drive by, go to the mailbox and see your address is on the mail together.
Yo, if you're not going
to
say Calvin Hunter's name, you're not going to say his name.
Say his name, damn it.
His incidents.
Well, let's go to the phone line. Hello, who's this?
It's crazy.
Hey, back in club. My name is Lamin.
It's Jasmine at Del Numero. Okay.
Both of y'all have disrespectfully cheated on each other.
Both of y'all disrespectfully cheated.
No,
we haven't. This is my girlfriend of going on 3 years now.
You've never cheated on her?
No, I have never cheated on her. And that's a God honest truth.
What about you, young lady? Have you ever cheated on him?
I've never cheated on him. Never gave his kitty cat away. I've been loyal to this man since day one.
I love it. Thank you. I love
y'all. Y'all would be disrespectful if you admitted it on the air right now.
Well, say each other's names just in case.
Yes, I have.
If y'all lying, somebody will call y'all out. So say each other's names way fast.
My name is Jasmine. You can follow me at Instagram on Melanin Monroe.
Man, give your social security number out while you at it, too. Listen, do y'all believe there's a respectful way to cheat?
Wait, hold on. Oh, my name is Lamin. You can follow me on Instagram, XKingLemon.
You ain't say your last name.
Exactly.
I know that cheating laugh. That aha. When a man goes, aha, boy, you a wild boy, man. You a wild boy.
Nah, listen, though. Like, there is a right way to cheat, but you'll end up feeling like a scumbag in the end, and it's a lot of work.
What's the right way to cheat, sir? Tell me, old wise one. What's the right way to cheat?
Number one, you make sure that the person that you're messing with already knows that you got a significant other and they know their place and they're okay with their place.
You sound like a cheater, sir.
You sound like you know too much, bro. Go ahead, keep going.
Keep digging his grave. Keep digging your grave. Ooh. Go to number two.
Now, I'll be honest. In the past, before I met her, I was. Mm. In the past, mm-hmm. I was. And this is how I know this. Number two, never bring anything home. Never bring no type of itchy. I don't give a f- what it is. Don't bring none at home. My bad for cutting on the radio. But don't bring none at home.
Okay.
How many more?
You know too much.
Okay, number four. Just make sure that your house is happy before stepping outside.
Nope.
You feel
you. Kind of terrible.
I agree with all you saying. How about don't cheat at all?
I thought all those things too. None of that works. I'm telling you, not if you being honest with yourself. If you lying to yourself, all of that stuff works. But if you being honest with yourself, none of that stuff works because your guilty conscience is going to eat you up.
Hello, who's this?
This is B. White.
What's up, bro? We're asking, is there a respectful way to cheat?
It's a respectful way for everything. Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be?
Okay, what's the respectful way? Yes.
None of her friends. No family members. Use some protection. And it's a respectful way to do everything.
I disagree. But.
Okay, so you're okay if your woman cheats on you. If a woman does that respectfully, you can be okay with it.
It's also a double standard for everything, too.
Oh, Lord.
It's a double standard. Look, if a woman have a baby, it's mommy's baby, daddy's baby. It's a respectful way to do it.
No, I don't think so. I think there is no respectful way to cheat. The act of cheating in itself is disrespectful. You're disrespecting your wife.
You used to mess with my cousin. You used to mess with my cousin.
What's her name?
Tasha. South Carolina.
Tasha.
You're Tasha.
Why you?
I don't remember.
Okay, whatever. Okay, put it like that. My bad. That's my bad for saying that. But it is a respectful way.
Can't snitch on that, man.
Now, wait a minute. First of all, put a timestamp on this. How long ago was this when I allegedly was messing with this woman?
2018.
About 11 years ago.
11 years ago, he said he's free
might
for
be, hey, man, I'm not going to deny or confirm. I don't remember. I'm a wild boy.
That laugh.
What up?
Oh, no, no, what up, me? I don't know Natasha. I don't know no damn Natasha. I don't know no me. Hey, bro, thank you for calling.
Hey, niggas can speak in cold through laughs, boy. You're a wild boy.
Oh, boy. So what's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is, personally, this is just Leonard McKelvey, Charlamagne the God speaking, there is no respectful way to cheat. The act of cheating itself is disrespectful. You're disrespecting your wife.
I concur.
You're disrespecting your family. You're disrespecting yourself. I used to cheat to feed my ego. Now I feed my soul. I don't cheat. Black Amen. Men don't cheat.
Amen. Yee, you have anything to say?
I mean, listen, you can't respectfully cheat thinking that respectfully cheating is that you don't get caught, because you cannot predict that. You will get caught at some point. So, chillax.
All right, we got more coming up next, so don't move. Happy holidays. Don't go anywhere. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got some special guests in the building. They've been here numerous times. And we said it's only right to give these brothers their flowers.
That's right.
We have the Migos in the building.
Quavo, Takeoff, Offset. It's good to see y'all,
today's
man.
Today's a celebration.
Right, it is. We celebrating y'all. I saw Offset. I think it was Offset last year who said that y'all don't get y'all flowers.
Yeah.
Have you feel like that's changed a little bit?
I smell it right now.
They didn't gave it back. They didn't been delivered to the door.
You smell them?
I do smell them, absolutely.
They literally bought you flowers.
We did.
We
got the balloons for y'all.
Bringing the flowers.
Now, mind you, it says culture two because the third one deflated.
Oh my God, this is terrible.
We got y'all some flowers. Three dozen roses for the Migos.
Y'all been
in
the BS with us, so we just want to give y'all some flowers today. No trickery or nothing like that.
No funeral, right?
No. We got some other flowers for y'all, too. That's 3.5 grams of some good-ass weed.
There you go.
Yeah,
it's legal.
It's legal now, yes.
Charlamagne, trust me. Don't tell me serving.
No, my brother Wax got a weed line.
Charlamagne
trapping.
So the new album is out right now. We just want to say congratulations and let's go through it, man. I know you don't usually get interviews like this, but we want to show love, man.
That's what
cool.
Man. Y'all been the most impactful too, rap group of the past decade.
Yes, sir, man.
Right? So, you know, we got to celebrate that.
I appreciate that.
And y'all been working really hard.
Thank you.
Grinding.
So let's talk about it. How long did it take to get Culture 3 finished? What was the process in recording this album?
Because I know one lives in L.A., some live in Atlanta, some live somewhere else.
And y'all been talking about this album for like 3 years.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. It took us like 2.5 years. Last summer, we was getting ready in L.A. And we stayed in this house together. And we stayed there for like 6 months just going in and just piecing it up. We had like 6 or 7 records from that time. It's still on the album.
We went to Miami too.
Yeah, then we went to Miami. We were just taking like little trips together and just
did kept y'all have to reconnect in. The chemistry? Because I mean, y'all doing so many different things. Y'all had to sit there together and say, let's reconnect.
I mean, we was recording through the pandemic since it started. We already record, but you know what I mean, since that we just putting, since it was time to get the the game back, we had to just pick and choose and just going to got, you know what I'm saying, championship mode, grind mode.
We recorded definitely. Everything together,
and
too.
And the chemistry there, now, mm-hmm. won't forget that. Yeah, we grew up together, out. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? We already know what each other thinking, each other doing, we don't see each other, so it's magic when we get together.
Did the money ever make y'all too comfortable?
Nah.
Not even a little mm-hmm. bit?
Nah.
Nah.
I don't feel we ain't never stopped working.
Charlamagne was kind of like upset because he was saying we sold the sauce. So we was selling the sauce too much. Like, coming from where we came from, mm-hmm. you gotta give me for the sauce. You gotta sell them the sauce, cause else we selling something else.
But it feel like everybody took the Migos wave and y'all hadn't really capitalized on it the way I think y'all should have.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
I mean, I think that's what we do it for, to inspire. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And but yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It's so different when we flash back to the first time y'all was up here to where we are now.
Offset was in jail.
I wasn't in here.
Yeah.
Offset was in here.
Takeoff was the most talkative.
We shouted you out, though.
Yep. Yeah. Offset was in jail. Takeoff was the most talkative. And Quavo Dreads was short.
We got to do a side-by-side or something.
That was a long time ago.
At what point did y'all realize that if y'all don't start, like, speaking up and demanding your credit, y'all may not get it?
You know, you see the people say little things, you know what I mean? But I feel like it's just we was missing. We just ain't putting a product out. They were
counting out groups, though. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. They still do that
they
now.
They was always talking about other artists. They don't never say nothing about groups. Or when they talk about single artists, they don't place us as one. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like we trying to staple ourselves as one whole artist. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We do our thing separately and together as a whole. Migos is it's one man band. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even if you don't get your credit, I think you, or ask for it, you work hard, you feel me? And it's just going to show itself.
Oh, God.
How did this album evolve, though, from when you guys first started doing it to where we are now? Because I'm sure you had to push it back. The pandemic happened. So what was the process from where you started off, like, this is what it's going to be, to where you got it to?
It was like 60% done, like, for, like, 2 years. Like these last records, like Justin Bieber, Drake.
They be coming last minute.
Cardi.
Best record.
All them records came, like, 2-3 weeks ago. You know what I'm saying? So we just made sure we laid down the foundation, and then all the good shit started coming in.
With the time, though, it was hard to chew, though, because we probably got like 700 songs recorded since we dropped. Damn. I can show it in my media, too. Like, it's like 600 songs, 589.
I got one, and he got one.
How did y'all know Culture would be a trilogy? Did y'all plan it like that from the start?
They kept counting us out every time we dropped it on the Culture. They said it wasn't going to be good as Culture 1.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we came back and proved them right. So we wanted to do that. It put that, you know what I'm saying, that pressure on us. And we're like, we had a goal to set, you know what I'm saying, because we always wanted to outshine or out, you know what I'm saying, do the first ones or the second ones, like with music. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the videos, y'all filmed in Jamaica for Why Not?
Yeah, and we filmed in Jamaica.
I saw Popcorn in there. What was that experience?
That was hard. My boy Popcorn
came.
That's hard, man.
He just pulled up? Or?
Yeah, he pulled up.
Yeah, like 100 deep.
Real trench,
100 deep.
I ain't playing. Yeah, they pulling up.
How was Jamaica?
But we were shooting the Khaled video.
Jamaica was fun. We shot her video with Khaled, and then
we about to shoot our video.
Y'all said Khaled was very hospitable.
Yeah, my boy is a player.
What did he lay out for y'all?
Respectfully.
Man.
He sent the jet. He having a good chef when you get to the house.
He sent the jet, had a chef.
He got the best chef in the world. Y'all ain't. Y'all got to eat over there.
Different.
Oh, man.
That's when you got it.
Food's crazy.
Yeah, that's when you gonna make the record, though. You feel me? Yeah.
So when y'all clear to make the record, all right, I'm gonna send the jet. I'm gonna get the chef.
Yeah.
Put y'all up.
Nice one call. I got a record for you. I need you to get here.
After we asked you where you wanna shoot the record, I said, I never went to Jamaica. He said, we gone. Yeah. Boom. Fired up the jet. Shot the video. Shot our video. Yeah, it was magic ever since then. Yeah, man.
After the video, he said, y'all, you know what I'm saying? Good. Y'all good. Y'all chill. Y'all
everything.
And Cali fit the whole bill?
Enjoy Jamaica.
I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. Come on, man. You know he do it big.
Shout to Cali. So whose idea was it to do the Avalanche record?
I cooked that beat up right there from scratch.
Yeah, Cleveland, you produced that.
Yeah.
My boy,
cooked that beat up, me and DJ Darrell.
Yeah, my boy, Darrell.
We be cooking up beats.
Where were you listening to that? Were you at the crib and it came on one of the old stations, or you was like, mama, listen to this record?
It was just in my head, the Temptation song. I was just like, I know we can rap on anything once we pull it up. And I was just like, Darrell, let's get it. I need you to goddamn pull this up. We actually pulled it off of YouTube and just started working from there. Then Motown got the, you know what I'm saying, we with Motown, the Temptation there too, so I just got the whole setup and files and just broke it down and went to work.
And when y'all heard it, y'all knew immediately that was it.
Yeah, I heard it. So, mm-hmm.
It felt good.
I heard that bass line come in. Okay, first he was rapping on top for like 30 seconds and the bass line hit. I was like, ooh, yeah. this is smash.
Papa Rolling Stone, mm-hmm. They got Rolling Stones in the bezel.
And y'all ain't even got no hook. It feel like y'all just wanted to get on there and snap and let people know y'all do this for real.
Just walk on it.
I saw Jay-Z commented on that song, first and foremost.
Yeah. Shout out to the whole.
Is that the ultimate cosign?
That's the ultimate cosign.
He don't get no bigger than that.
I'm telling you.
He done made it to another planet, rapping. Mm-hmm. He started out rapping.
All right, when we come back, we got more with the Migos. Let's play a joint off their album. This is Avalanche. Ooh. It's the Breakfast
Papa
Club.
Papa was a Rolling Stone, but now I got Rolling Stones in the bezel. Ice.
Avalanche, the Migos. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with the Migos. Charlamagne?
Quib, I be wondering, how you got so tapped in with New York artists? Whether it was Pop Smoke or Bobby Smurda, how did those relationships happen?
Man, shout out to New York, man. In my second spot, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, but it's just all love, man. Jay, 1,000. Them boys, 1,000. Pop Smoke's 1,000. Jay, always RIP, rest of soul, always just ready to learn, just lock in, just soak it up. And every time he always just reacted fast like he already knew what he wanted to do. And then Bobby, they've been our dogs since 2013, and we just stayed locked in ever since.
Mm-hmm. Y'all doing an album with him? Y'all doing an album together? Or project?
With Bobby?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to finish the Smego.
Smego.
I feel like y'all met at Powerhouse back in the day.
I don't think that was the first time.
I think it was
y'all knew them before then? Okay.
It was like Rochester, yeah. New York or something like that.
I got family out here because you be in the craziest spots in New York. I be seeing you pop up and be like, how the f*** are you here?
You know I'm having family.
Yeah,
you know I'm having family.
Hello.
Yeah,
I was like.
So yeah, that make us got family. We got family out here too. You know what I mean?
Because Quavo, you even with Pop Smoke, you was on him early.
For sure.
Like, y'all was
for
connected
sure.
Early.
Don't y'all got an album or something?
Yeah, we had a whole bunch of songs we was finna put together. I don't know if we're gonna do it now. I gotta holler at Steven Victor, but that's who made it happen. I just told him he was hard, and he was in LA. I told him to pull up on me, and then ever since then, we made Shake the Room and Light It Up, the one that's on our album, made that shit twice the same day. We went to London, made like 4 records, West Coast shit. Every time we got together, we just made something, put it out. So.
And I heard you say on the new album that you wish you could have him up under your wing. So even when y'all had that time together, what was the relationship like?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like mentoring, just making sure he, you know what I'm saying, going through what we were, you know what I'm saying, going through
mm-hmm.
the right motions and asking about females and all type of things like that.
How do situations like that, alter the way y'all move? You know what I mean? When you see the untimely things that happen to brothers like Pop Smoke.
Got to move militant, man, move. Like you got something to lose. I got kids to go home to. You know what I'm saying? So I don't be believing in a tough man. Like I'm gonna pay what I gotta pay to protect my family, everything. I'm having security at my house.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting outside my house 24 hours. You gotta protect yourself.
You
work
Atlanta,
a lot.
Yeah.
You can lose a lot.
Crazy right now.
A lot of people depend on
robberies and carjackings. You see the security guard got shot at Lenox Mall. Did that make y'all move different in your own hometown?
Nah, it definitely make you move different. Make you think about life. You know what I'm saying? More think about your decisions. And you be like, man, so much stuff happened. We got to move. You know what I'm saying? We got to move right.
I'm glad to hear that, because Offset, you've come a long way from jumping off stage with the Falcon Punch and getting your own hands dirty. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man, you gotta clean up, understand the business side of everything, and become a man for real.
And moving right, yeah, in that aspect too, Offset, we know you're good and married, but for Takeoff and Quavo, how do you know a woman loves you for you? Like, how do you even date now, not knowing what people's intentions are?
I don't. It's so hard.
What you see?
You gotta be scared to death.
That's what I asked them. That's why I asked them on the new album, what you see? I wanna know what they see. I really know what they see, because
about 100 million.
I feel like they see it and everybody else. So I'm trying to see what y'all see.
So how do you date? Like, what do you DMs? Is it people you know? Is it somebody hook me up?
I ain't got no tea now. You try to get some tea.
No, you ain't got to name names, but I'm just saying, like,
let's cut right here for some tea. I ain't got no tea.
You ain't
got
to be specific, but I'm just saying, like, how does it happen then? Because, like I said, you don't know.
I feel like everything happened for a reason, so I feel like if God, not for real though. So, I mean, I believe in God, so I feel like God got that special one for me, and I be asking him, like, is this the one? You don't know, you know what I mean? So I'll be telling him. I feel like he gonna let me know when it's the one.
Good answer.
That's a hell of a line, too.
Amen. God gonna let me know.
Any woman that asks you that, that's what you say. If it's God's will.
That's what I'm saying.
Take that, ye.
Amen.
God.
Wait, now what have been the benefits?
Hold on, Quavo didn't answer. How do you know what somebody wants from you, though?
Like, you just live and you learn. You just go through the motions. Mm-hmm.
See, I ain't got time to be living and learning and going through the motions. You feel me? I ain't got too many mistakes to make, you know what I mean?
Now, what have been the benefits of being in a group the past 10 years?
You got brothers to call and talk about all this good
everything. It's a lot of anything. I can talk to them about anything. I ain't got to hold back now.
Mm-hmm.
What's the celebration like for y'all? Like, when the album was done and turned in, what did you guys do?
At the house, just going crazy. Just
went out to eat.
Yeah, we did eat too, though. Mm-hmm. Probably go out to eat today, too.
Y'all ain't tired at all. I seen y'all in Miami one night. Y'all went in LA the next
slept.
Night.
We haven't got no sleep.
Atlanta the next
ain't
night.
No sleep.
New York this morning.
We probably getting like 3 hours of sleep since this whole these last 2 weeks.
That's why you got the
game last night.
Yep.
That's why you got the holograms everywhere.
Now we got the holograms in the city. We trying to time travel. Anybody got a time traveling machine, just let us know.
For real.
That we trying to do.
I feel like y'all had a wager with Meek or something.
I got a $10,000 bet.
Dang.
If we tied, we going up another dime. But yeah, we tied last night, but he didn't want to bet. You know what I'm saying?
What's your prediction for the whole thing?
I think the Hawks going to beat these boys.
All like win everything?
Really?
I think the Hawks going to beat Philly. And then
whoever we play, we going to beat.
What we got. It depends
it's
on
a lot
what
of injured
looking
players.
At.
We going to take advantage of that.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn got some missing
Brooklyn
folks.
Brooklyn banged up right now.
Got some missing important missing folks.
But you got Milwaukee good, though. I ain't gonna front, man. I like Trae Young. I like the way he talks.
See, they can't guard no point guard. Nobody got a true point guard in the NBA. And that's what, you know what I'm saying? That's the difference when you got a scoring point guard, because you got a double team him, then he finds somebody open. All you got to do is do your job.
Now let's talk about this Mount Rushmore of Atlanta. Because I saw y'all talking about that. Is that an all-time list y'all feel like y'all should be on, or just
all-time,
the past decade?
Not shout out to the city, but all-time,
yeah,
all-time.
It's bigger than, you feel me? Yeah.
Once you create different. Something...
Who should be on there with y'all? All time, Atlanta.
Us.
See, yeah, we got to have our head connected as one, so that's one.
That's one, right?
Yeah, I say Gucci, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But Tip.
Mm-hmm.
I feel Little John, JD, Tip.
All the way around?
Oh, all time Atlanta?
I feel like Little John, JD, Tip, and Outkast is one.
I put Outkast on there. I just want to say that. Mm-hmm. Outkast is one. So
got to put Outkast.
But if you, I think y'all a certain era. So I feel like it would be like, y'all, Gucci, Future, and somebody.
They said all time.
We're going all time.
All time is tough, man.
All time. It's only four, what is it, four spaces?
Yeah.
Four spaces.
So with us, okay. Well, come on, what else? What we got?
You got to put Little John on it. Little John got to be on there somewhere.
How big is this mountain?
That's an outcast. That's four,
like
that's
the Crunk era helped raise y'all, didn't it, in a lot of ways?
Crunk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how we, it was the point we, that's how we had. Mm-hmm. He created a lot of lanes for Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So God. You got to put the boy Lil Jon on now. You ain't wrong.
But Lil Jon, he
brought a lot of people behind him.
Crunk, Snap, that's all Jon.
And he's still getting money.
He's at Crunk Anderson. He's right.
Yeah.
And EDM. He went EDM.
Yeah.
Now.
So you ain't gonna put Soulja Boy on there then?
No, Soulja's not even from Atlanta.
I'm just messing.
Don't start this
All right, well, don't move. We got more with Amigos when we come back. Let's get into Amigos Mini Mix. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Amigos Mini Mix. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Amigos. Charlamagne?
You know, we've all heard rumors over the past decade of the Amigos breaking up. Was there ever a moment where that was really true?
Never.
No,
man.
We real blood family, man. Mm-hmm.
We gotta say that.
Never that.
Who said that too? That's Cap.
I ain't never heard that.
You know they say
that. You never heard that?
I just saw the show.
It's Cap. They be online all the time. Migos leaving, Quavo going with Kanye, this and that.
Oh,
like,
man. Yeah, Cap, man.
Bad and Bougie was Offset song by itself.
See, what's wrong with the generation is they always trying to divide and conquer, man. That's what be going on.
We need to uplift.
mm-hmm. who's the best and who's this. I might see something on Instagram that got two different artists and be like, tap if this person better and like if this person. That went wrong with the generation.
Why they can't be both on fire? You know what I'm saying?
Or
is this trash or is this, you know what I'm saying, garbage or whatever? Like,
because everything hard.
It should, mm-hmm. we should be
and we ain't never
splitting each other.
Money,
majority of these platforms good. Be, you know what I'm saying? Same, you feel me? The same, our same color. And they be doing some of the shadiest. What's the name?
So like,
we need to just, you know what I'm saying?
Generation.
Do better.
Mm-hmm. Out of 700 songs, how do you come together and decide which ones make it though?
Stand out. Some
we just get the gang in the room. We just play them and
play the day put in front of the day ones. And
some it'd be like six, some seven, six or seven already. Just you don't even question.
You knew Avalanche was on there.
Yeah,
hands down.
Yeah,
you knew Straightening was there.
Yeah,
so we came to get some Straightening. We had to put that on there. Mm-hmm.
I can't believe y'all got to explain what that is to people. I guess
you gotta give them the lingo. So you from the south, yeah. So you understand Straightening.
Your parents used to say that to you. Get this boy some Straightening.
Yeah. See, I appreciate that, Sean, man.
I can't believe people asking y'all what that mean.
And lost too.
Man, you gotta get an understanding for you know what I'm saying. Get some Straightening. You know what I'm saying. Ain't nothing but a little bit of Straightening. You know what I'm saying? Can't get nothing. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing but a little bit of straightening. Ain't no straightening unless you get some straightening.
Y'all haven't had to do that to nobody in a while, though, right?
Right. Yeah.
No, yeah.
Straightening could be straight. We got straightening with the album
all the time.
Anybody who playing with the name Migos, we got straightening with this album.
Exactly.
Anybody who thought anything, any thought process.
Put some respect, like my boy. What nice, my boy.
Yeah, right up. Put some respect on it.
So you feel like people was questioning whether or not this was gonna be.
Nah, y'all gonna put some respect on my name.
Oh God.
No, you know what's great though is for you guys all separately, individually, have your own things going on, but that you could come together and that's what's powerful, right? That you all have all these separate projects. That happen, and then you're able to say, okay, now it's time for the Migos to regroup like Voltron. And
you got
to
stay with your foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Three-headed monster.
Can't have no home without the foundation.
So can we talk about the individual projects too that you guys have? I know my girl Ricky was working with you on a show, a streetwear show, right?
Ricky.
Yes,
shout out to Ricky,
that's my girl.
HBO, man. Ricky, she's amazing. Mm-hmm. Black, strong, powerful woman. And she had me, and she fire. I love her. So we did a show that's gonna come on HBO Max called The Hype about streetwear designers and giving them a chance to shine, because you know a lot of the big designers take their dripping, go and make all the money from it, they don't never get the credit, so we're giving them a chance.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right, brother.
Hell yeah. Wasn't that show supposed to be on Quibi?
Nah.
That was something else?
HBO Max. Quibi was the gaming show I had.
Gotcha.
Then the other show I had when I did Jay Leno's Car Garage and stuff like that, yeah.
Y'all got a lot going on.
It's another extension. So how did going solo impact the group, though? What did y'all learn when y'all went to go off to do y'all solo projects? How did that impact the group when y'all came back together?
Can't nobody, they still can't with us. We just we can do it any way you want to come. Because all our albums were successful.
Mm-hmm.
And we still come back and be successful as one. So I feel like we just a different group. They need to put us in a different shelf. Because I don't know no other group that done did that. Actually, now that we talk about it, like drop separate projects and then come back successful as a group again on you. Bomb.
Wu-Tang.
But ain't nothing bigger than
that. Okay, shout out to Wu-Tang.
Yeah, Wu-Tang.
Yeah, since we did, right behind, that's good with me, behind Wu-Tang. That hard.
Ain't nothing bigger than the group. And we realize, you know what I'm saying, the bigger the group get, we get individually. So, you know what I mean? We just worry about the group and get it to its highest, you know what I'm saying, potential.
How'd y'all deal with the pandemic? Because y'all stay on the road. Stay on
we
the road.
We turned the pandemic into a pandemic. You know that's the shit that we on.
No.
Yeah.
And you with your kids, got to know your kids in school, so you gotta be a teacher now.
Yeah, the homeschool thing, I wouldn't let them go to school. So that was crazy, learning. To try to keep them, they so young, like to keep them paying attention to the computer at first was hard. They weren't trying to do that. I might look my daughter, Lily, she be there while I'm there, and I go to my room, come out. She watch the TV. The thing playing and the camera off. How you know how to do that?
She's smart.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. How's fatherhood changed you, Offset?
You know, it make you see the bigger picture, see the real light to life. You know what I mean? Like, you be living by yourself so sometimes and young and with no guidance. So now you got to guide them. Now I got to guide them. And my kids really pay attention to me, tell me, like, anything I'm doing. Or I just catch them. Like, if I'm about to post a video, my kids are staring at me. So I noticed that I influenced them so big. So if I be on some bull, they gonna be on it, no matter what position I'm in, you know what I'm saying? So just being a responsible father. being there for them. I ain't had that, so a lot of times I done made some big mistakes in life.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to stay on mine.
Yeah, I remember when you was here by yourself and then you was talking about wanting a relationship with your pops, then you ran into him somewhere.
I ran into him.
Boy, chill out, bro.
You know what I mean? I ran into him. Shout out to him, man.
That looked like love, though.
Yeah, it was love. Love. I stand it. I helped him out. You know what I mean?
Had a relationship now.
Haven't seen him since?
I seen him. He called me. I answered the phone. You know what I'm saying? But shout out to Pops, man. I don't want to drag Pops through the mud or nothing like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it was nice meeting him. You know what I mean? Nice. I did. That's something I accomplished through my life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's what's up.
Absolutely.
Take off during the pandemic. What were you doing?
You know what I'm saying? Still spinning. You know what I mean? Chilling with the fam. Mm-hmm. Fam time working. Watching movies.
Like what? Because I was saying the other day, I never really get to watch movies and TV like that until this pandemic. So what kind of things were you
like
into?
What kind of movies?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he said still spinning. What was you buying during the pandemic?
And I bought some watches. I bought me 2-3 watches, some chain. I bought this through the pandemic. As soon as it started.
That was the time to buy all that real estate in Atlanta.
Yeah,
you got all that real estate in Atlanta.
Was,
triple.
I was supposed
my
to
stuff tripled in Atlanta.
My house done went up $2 million.
And what I'm on now.
See that?
Your house went up $2 million.
$2 million.
God damn.
Yes, sir.
I told you.
Get in.
Why did Jesus piece take off? Was it for spiritual reasons? Or?
Because, you know, yeah, without him, none of us would be here.
That's
what
right.
A lot of people don't realize. Yeah. And, you know what I mean? We religious. I'm Christian, and I keep God first. And I put my grandmama name on the back. I lost my grandmama, so
damn,
it meant a lot to me.
Sorry.
So I wear it all the time. Even if I got other jewelry on, and it don't go right with the setup, I still tuck it. You know what I'm saying? Just keep it up on me.
Mm-hmm.
Now they said you're the movie man. So what was you on?
Everything is new. You know what I mean? You hear me? I was watching the little series like The Godfather of Harlem, little mm-hmm. Snowfalls.
Okay.
That what I've been on recently. Mm-hmm. And I watch like little documentaries. Like I rewatched stuff like the old Tyson documentary, little Five Heartbeats. Just you know what I'm saying?
Oh, the Five Heartbeats classic.
James Brown. So, yeah, just classic stuff. And just what's up? Just new.
What about you, Quavo? What you did during that pandemic?
I was shooting some movies, getting into it. Shooting some movies.
What about production is your thing too. So are you gonna go like real deep into it as far as producing for other artists and?
I just like producing for us. If it make me feel like, you know what I'm saying, on some just...
Been doing that since eighth grade.
I've been doing this since I was in eighth grade, but I don't never, like, take the credit for it, and you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. I don't like tags and shit like that. I just like just being in behind the scenes, but I most definitely like messing with beats. And I make them for other artists, but you'll never know if I did it or not until
Why?
You see, like, the credit.
Oh, until you see
you
the credit.
You know what I'm saying, stuff like that, yeah.
And I saw you produced a horror movie, right?
Yeah, I scored a horror film and executive produced a horror film called The Resort. It's out right now. And it's a scary movie. Shout out to my boy Will. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
All right, we got more with Amigos. When we come back, let's get into another joint off the album. This one's featuring Drake.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth. which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That was the Migos featuring Drake. Migos are here. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, Charlamagne?
I feel like that's going to be the next level for all of the Migos, the TV film world.
Yeah, we like it. We love TV.
Yeah, put me on TV. Put me on that screen.
I was working with LL. I see you working with LL.
LL, the GOAT, man. How I even work with
LL.
Him? First time I seen him, I just told him, like, hey, man, put me on the NCIS show, man. What we doing? He like, bet. I'm going to hit you for real, though. I'm like, all right, bet. And then he hit me probably like a few weeks later. And then I had a meeting through my agency with him. When I sit down, he just come in, come shake my hand. I told you, I got you. I'm going to let you handle your business. He told me, like, don't mess up, though, bro. You a brother. You gotta ace this. I'm like, bet. And then that's how I got the show, straight off his word.
Wow.
One time he told me.
Closed mouth don't get fed.
Wow. Promise you.
That's serious.
And no matter what level you at, you still can't be afraid to ask for something.
Can't be. You better open your mouth.
All I said, right. Why you don't lean into the dancing more, man? I've been waiting for that since that.
Tell him again. Tell him again.
I've been waiting for that since that BET performance. I think it was a BET performance.
Ain't no shame, Mike. I ain't. It's about timing, and when you do it, it got to be iconic moments. You know what I mean? It got to be an iconic moment. And
we gonna set something
out.
Up. We gonna set. We gonna hit the stage soon. Hey, watch that
BET.
The next show.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Oh, y'all at the BET Awards?
Yeah, I ain't running.
Next show though.
Oh, y'all got a routine?
Come on.
Man.
So hold on. Quavo and Takeoff got moves too?
It's new steps.
Okay.
New steps.
Why can't be a routine?
New steps sound better than routine.
So y'all got some choreography planned?
Steps.
New steps.
My man, footwork. Come on, y'all. I got a choreography going.
How much has the game changed since y'all got in it 10 years ago, man? Because that's a long time.
We just stayed dropping music. We ain't know shit was changing until they was telling us, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we were just, like, just dropping music. And then once we found out, like, when we dropped our first YRN album, it didn't do too crazy because it wasn't no mixtape. And we were thinking that, you know what I'm saying, it was, like, it's mixtape style shit to, like, when you drop it. So we was like, damn.
Hurt.
It hurt us, you know what I'm saying? Then after that, when we came back, we had to just go back to our single shit. Just kept dropping singles, mm-hmm. singles, and then people had to, like, want an album, and then that's when we came out with Culture.
And we realized how, you know what I'm saying, some of our generation really said a lot of, not us, you know what I'm saying, they know about, you feel me, the OG music, you feel me, or the, you know what I'm saying, the people we look up to.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying, the people who was born in 2000 or whatever, it'd be still shocking to me that they don't know, you know what I mean?
The appreciation for hip-hop, for music, and mm-hmm. in general, a lot of people got stuff to say and don't know nothing about it.
Even the way people looked at you changed. At one time, it was like they mumble rapping. Now it's like...
It was a flow, though. I figured it out.
Y'all don't understand. They didn't understand the flow.
Because if they were saying we mumble rap, we can pick any bar or verse you think we mumble rap, then we can tell you what we said.
Well, yeah. But it was the cadence, I think. It was the cadence and the speed we was coming.
I can see that.
We changed the whole... If you go to 2013, when the artists having to bounce, but still right now, it's a little slower right now. That's why we be saying we motivated. We started this flow. That's what I think it just was. They ain't know what it was. Like, who these boys from Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
What
is they? You're too fast for them.
Too fast for them. Cadence, they weren't used to it.
But now everybody can pick up, and you know what I'm saying? That's the lingo now. So,
well, everybody followed y'all. That's
we all dialed
why.
In, you know what I'm saying?
Are y'all vaccinated? Because y'all got a song called Vaccine. That's all I kept thinking about when I listened to that record.
The Blue Benjamin vaccine. You know, back down vaccine.
Special kind of vaccination.
Yeah. Nah, but.
The Blue Benjamin vaccine. What?
Yeah,
I'm vaccinated.
Are you all vaccinated?
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad.
You got vaccinated, Quavo?
I'm sitting next to Quavo.
Yeah, me and COVID, we, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, you got it?
All right, check this out, though.
You got it?
Oh, I got the vaccine.
Okay.
I got the shot.
So, Offset, you're not vaccinated?
No.
Neither is Charlamagne, so that's the unvaccinated side.
Oh, I don't got it.
Nah. Listen what I'm saying. This is the thing with me, right? Let me take my glass off. So look, right.
Be serious with
you want to take the shot, right?
Okay.
cool. But it's good for 12 months. So, and ain't nobody really stamped that it stopped. So every year you got to take a shot at this point.
Like the flu
shot.
That's
what they saying, right? Yeah, like the flu shot.
My mama ain't never gave me the flu shot. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So my mama wasn't never going for that in the first place. My mama got a shot of my mama. She got it. But this is what I'm saying.
Got the vaccine.
This wrong deal,
got the vaccine.
You take the vaccine. But we still got to take COVID tests right now. Vaccinated or not.
Right, because you can still get COVID.
Yeah, the vaccine is not a cure.
Like him that don't have the vaccine, so you can give it to him.
What's going on with that, though? Why I got to still take the COVID test?
Because it's not a cure.
Because you can give it. Okay, I'm explaining it.
I can still get COVID.
No, because if you get.
It's not a cure.
No, I'm explaining it. With the vaccination, if you get COVID, you won't get as sick and you won't get hospitalized. You'll be fine. But you can still give it to Offset, who's not vaccinated.
Tell him
Hold on, they told you it was a cure?
They told me it was over with.
No, man.
Tell them again. Yeah.
You can give it to them.
Then you can still get it, but you won't get sick and you won't be hospitalized.
Yeah, listen, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. Nah. I'm just hesitant because I've never seen them in a rush to remy any other illness in the black community.
Okay.
Plus, poverty, police brutality,
they
up school.
Talking about they put magnets on your arm and you.
No, we've seen that. I've seen that.
I've seen it. We've seen it on our eyes.
What you mean?
A quarter.
Man, come on, guys.
To the arm.
If you got the vaccine,
it was a penny.
No, not to my arm.
Anybody can do that, man.
Put a quarter on your arm.
He did it on his forehead the other day.
Yeah, it's a trick. You can
do it. No. That means you got to melt a plate in your forehead.
You got to build your second shot.
Give him a quarter. It's a trick, man.
It's after the second shot.
You can do it like this.
That's a penny.
That's your head wet.
Your head wet, bro. That sweat.
Some quarter off his skin, literally. Like, it was stuck on his
skin. From the COVID shot?
From the second COVID shot.
And he got it. And like when he seen it, like I seen on his face, he like, man,
he
what?
He really knew that.
Oh, he was sick.
Was it Johnson & Johnson, sick about Pfizer, it. Or Moderna? Which
it
one
wasn't
was
mine.
It?
He got, I think he got, what he got?
He got Johnson.
He got Pfizer, the other Pfizer. One.
Pfizer. The other one.
Pfizer, yeah. See, that's what I'm saying? Then there's four different versions.
Mm-hmm. Two of them, man.
I ain't trying to do all that. Then one got counseled. I'm not trying to be a lab rat, man.
I'll wait. That's what I'm saying.
When it's A1 and I ain't got a taste.
So y'all don't got the vaccine.
I'm vaccinated.
I traveled.
I don't got it.
And think about how many people y'all take pictures with, fans that y'all take pictures with. You don't know where they been.
That's a fact.
That's why it go back to
what
I'm saying.
That's why we about to do these new hologram things. But
the hologram's vaccinated.
And you got to think about all the times you went raw. It's kind of the same thing. You taking a chance.
It's not the same thing.
Let's get into a record.
Wait, hold on. Before that, I want to ask about the Savage Fenty relationship.
Shout out to Riri. You know, she hit us up. You know, my baby. You know what I mean?
Okay. I never heard him say nothing like that.
You know what I'm saying? I put that together.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But now, shout out to Riri, though, man. You know what I mean? That's fam.
Now, can we get to a record?
Hold on. Hey, we got something else for y'all.
Okay.
This for you, Seth.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Some nice liquor.
This for...
It's a Casa Dragones.
That's an expensive bottle, too.
This for you, Takeoff.
Okay.
Okay. And this for you, Quavo.
That's the expensive bottle.
That's that Casa Dragones tequila.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? About $400, $500
a bottle. $500 a bottle.
You know what I mean?
That package is
about $700. I told y'all we going to celebrate y'all, man.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Got to get Amigos. They
you ain't do it like Khaled did it.
Yeah, you ain't.
Well, listen, you know, Khaled, I act my wage.
Okay.
He having his wage.
I act my wage.
Word. Congratulations on Culture 3.
Yes, sir.
It's a celebration today. You see that? No bullish. I know y'all thought we were going to throw a curveball in there. No bullish. We appreciate y'all, brother.
Oh, wait.
No.
I was ready.
You was ready.
You was, Quavo?
Nah, I wasn't.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Let's go. It's time to wake up.
Yeah.
It's the Breakfast Club.
Angela Yee here, and my friends at the General Insurance give you quality car insurance for less. Check out their affordable rates and flexible payment options by calling 800-GENERAL or visiting thegeneral.com. The General Auto Insurance Services, Inc., an insurance agency, Nashville, Tennessee. Some restrictions apply.
Make sure you tell them to watch out for Florida, man.
The craziest people in America come from the Bronx and all of Florida.
Yes, you are a donkey.
A Florida man attacked an ATM for a very strange reason. It gave him too much money. Florida man is arrested after deputies say he rigged the door to his home in an attempt to electrocute his pregnant wife. Police arrested an Orlando man for attacking a flamingo.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Donkey of the day.
with Charlamagne the God. I don't know why y'all keep letting him get y'all like this.
Wow, donkey of the day goes to Ronnie O'Neill. It honestly just dawned on me this morning that Ronnie O'Neill is from Florida. I should have known. What does your Uncle Charla always say about the great state of Florida? The craziest people in America come from the Bronx and all of Florida. But Florida, I can't blame this one on y'all. This is a lot deeper than being from Florida. Okay, to be honest with you, I really believe Ronnie O'Neill is a villain in the new Boondocks cartoon. Okay, Aaron Magruder had to write this. Like, if there was a multiverse for the Boondocks, Ronnie O'Neill might be an evil variant version of Riley Freeman. Wait a minute, Uncle Charla, who the hell is Ronnie O'Neill? Okay, you're right. Let me not assume everyone knows. Ronnie O'Neill is the human who acted as his own attorney in his double murder trial. He was accused of killing his 33-year-old girlfriend, Kenyatta Barron, and their disabled 9-year-old daughter, Ron Navia O'Neill. RIP to both of them, and I'm sending condolences and healing energy to their families. If you need a refresher on the situation, let's go to WTSP 10 Tampa Bay for the report, please.
Opening statements are underway in the murder case against Ronnie O'Neill III. He's the Riverview man accused of killing his girlfriend and their 9-year-old daughter 3 years ago. O'Neill is taking an unusual stance of representing himself in court, so here's some of what he had to say to the jury.
I'm pleading not guilty to the charges of premeditated murder. They didn't want you to know the truth. We're going to see who the liars are before it's all said and done. Mark my words.
There is a public defender on standby if he does change his mind. He faces the death penalty if convicted.
He going to die. Ronnie O'Neill was accusing prosecutors of fabricating evidence. Ronnie O'Neill was charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder, a count of attempted first-degree murder, 2 counts of aggravated child abuse, and a count of resisting a law enforcement officer without violence. Now, if someone, you know, kills 2 people and stabs another, because Ronnie also stabbed his 8-year-old son, who thank God survived, if police come over and see all this chaos, how could they possibly fabricate evidence? Now, I know Ronnie O'Neill is claiming his girlfriend killed his daughter and tried to kill his son. That's why he killed her. But we always have to remember in life, a lie ain't nothing to tell. If a bold-faced liar was a person, it would be Ronnie O'Neill III. And see, the thing about a lie is when you tell one lie, it leads to another. So you tell 2 lies to cover each other. Then you tell 3 lies. And oh, brother, first lie he told was that his girlfriend killed his daughter and stabbed his son. Well, his son took the stand and had to relive that trauma. Listen.
How you doing, Ronnie?
Good.
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too.
Did you see me shoot your mom?
No.
Did I hurt you that night of this incident?
Yes.
I did. And how did I hurt you?
You stabbed me.
Lord have mercy.
Damn it, man.
So you tell 4 lies to try to protect you. Then you tell 5 lies so folks won't suspect you. Then you tell 6 lies and you'll collect a life filled with worries and fears. Because you can't remember how many lies you've told and half the things you say aren't true. And sometimes you'll slip up, you'll trip up, and then whatever will become of you. Well, what will become of Ronnie O'Neill III? Let's go to WFLA NBC 8 for the report, please.
It took just more than 4 hours for a Tampa jury to decide Ronnie O'Neill is guilty of killing his girlfriend and his own daughter, as well as stabbing and setting fire to his son. O'Neill represented himself throughout the guilt phase of the trial and may do so during the penalty phase as well.
The defendant is guilty of first-degree murder, premeditated murder, and felony murder.
During his closing argument, O'Neill admitted guilt in one of the killings.
I did kill Kenyatta Barron, but I want you to tell it like it is if you're gonna tell it.
O'Neill told jurors he did kill his girlfriend, but only because she murdered their daughter and tried to kill their son.
You don't know what happened to my daughter. I know what happened to my daughter, and that's why Kenyatta Barron is dead.
4 hours. It only took jurors 4 hours. Only reason I think it took that long is because they were in there discussing the audacity, the unmitigated gall of Ronnie O'Neill III to get up there and represent himself. So you lie and lie without even trying, and each lie you tell will keep multiplying. So the whole wide world will know you're lying, then you'll be suspected, detected, rejected, neglected, disliked, and you should. When you lie, you're closing the door on everything good. Ronnie O'Neill III, what the hell were you doing? Why were you up there playing? What was the point? What was you trying to prove? There was absolutely no reason for you to be up there representing yourself other than for your own sick, personal,
entertainment. I've been trying to make sense of this, and I keep stopping myself to remind myself, stop attempting to make sense of the senseless. There is no logic in the illogical. I can't blame this on Florida. I keep trying to wrap my mind around what this is, and all I hear in my head is my love, Stephanie Mills, saying,
niggas, niggas.
That's it. That's it. Please let Remy Ma give Ronnie O'Neal the third the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw, hee-haw. You stupid motherfucker. Are you dumb?
His poor son, man.
His poor son is going to need a lifetime of therapy, okay? Mm. You know how much work it's going to take to get the trauma out of that young man's body? Come on, man.
All right. I just want to give him a hug. I felt so bad having to listen to him have to testify and answer questions.
Because Ronnie O'Neal want to play. Because Ronnie O'Neal III want to play.
All right, we got more coming up next, so don't move. Happy holidays. Don't go anywhere. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Come on. Need relationship advice? Need personal advice? Just need real advice. Call up now for Ask Ye.
Keep it real.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, this lady called, I think a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and she was having some problems in the bed, and Charlamagne advised her how to work the middle, and she's back on the line. Good morning.
What? Hello.
Hey, this is Kip. How you doing?
Hey, she's
What's
calling
up,
back.
Girl? You were very popular when you called in for Ask Yee, and you were talking about being insecure about being on top, right?
Yes.
So I
have a follow-up.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about it.
Okay. So me and him had a long discussion about it, and I went on and told him how I felt. And so me and him talked about it, and that night, the magic happened. We put on some pornos, and, like, I watched a couple scenes with different women doing, you know, different positions and the positions you told me to do. And I tried it, and, like, we have not stopped. I have so much
Okay,
fun.
So hold on. You did reverse cowgirl?
Yes, I did.
And then, let me tell you something. And that is a workout in itself. So it feels good because you over there doing your squats, doing your crybaby challenge, doing the busted challenge on it. That's what I'm talking about.
Girl, and I also been working out, too. So it's like, I guess my breathing is a little bit better, and I am, like, man, I'm telling you, we have been having some good nights. We really have.
And you know what was interesting, though, and I was so glad that you called about that because a lot of women were weighing in about their insecurities also. And I was saying, I know he loves just looking at your body no matter what. And so everything about you, I'm sure he finds attractive. What did he say when you guys had the conversation?
He was just like, that is more or less me, and it was never him. He never, ever felt any kind of way about, you know, me saying that I didn't want to get on top or whatever, but he just was like, baby, you are thinking too hard into it. And also, like I told you, I was trying to get the lipo and the BBL done. And he's just like, I love you how you are. You know, that's for women who, you know, don't really like how they look and rather spend money. He was like, let's go to the gym. We got a Planet Fitness membership. And we've been back and forth in the gym and stuff or whatever. So, like, he really supports me, and I love that about him. Like, he didn't make me feel any kind of way about it when I did see him down and talk to him about it. He was just really open and like, Ma, that's like, that's just you. That's you. That's all you. It's never been me.
Isn't riding on so fun?
It is. Look, I always was just nervous about it because of my weight, you know, and like my guy, he's a pretty small guy. And I just always felt like I was too heavy to be on top. And, you know, like, so that's the only reason why I didn't want to do it.
All right. Now, my only advice is make sure you don't go up too high. Because then when you come back down, if it slides out, it could hurt him. So just be careful with that. Don't go too high.
Yes, ma'am. I want to tell you, I did see on your Instagram where all the, you know, people were commenting and stuff or whatever. And you really, really talk to me like a big sister. And I just want to tell you that I appreciate you so much. Like, this advice line is the best. And speaking to you about my insecurity, like, with everyone listening or whatever, was hard for me. But at the same time, you made me feel very comfortable.
Auntie been there before. Auntie been in that position over there. All right.
Listen, And I think a lot of women, we do have insecurities about our body, but I do know for guys, like I said, they just happy to be there and they're not thinking, oh, look at this stretch mark. Look at that fat hang. Like, they're not even thinking like that. They just thinking this is amazing.
I mean, most guys still going to hit, but they're going to talk about it later to their boys at least.
And that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, my whole thing is, you know, like, men be discussing with their boys, like, about stuff like that. To me, I think they do.
They do. But they, I mean, if the poom poom is good, he's still going to be like, but that poom poom fire, though.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you so much. And I'm glad that things got so much better for you. That's him. And he sounds like an amazing man. So he deserves for you to ride again tonight.
And he is. I'll be 35 next month. And he's 26. And I had insecurities about that too, with our age differences and stuff or whatever, but like, we're going on 2 years now. So
All right, good. Well, listen, keep on following up. I'm glad that you sound so excited and energetic about it. And I'm sure he feels better about it too. So that's dope. So that's what ASCII is all about. And I'm happy to hear from you.
Yes, ma'am. Y'all have a wonderful morning and God bless all of y'all.
Peace. You too now. All right, ASCII. Yeah,
a guy will definitely be like, yo, her body trash, but her poom poom fire.
Not about his girl. About his girl, though, or his wife?
No, not about his
wife. No, not about his girl. His wife.
Yeah, because they're in a real relationship. They're in a real relationship. Like, they're together. I can't imagine he would tell his boy she's trash.
Yeah, not about his girl, his wife.
Yeah.
But he'll think that, and that's why he got her, you know, let's go work out together, yada, yada, yada.
All right. Well, ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you need advice, call us up.
I'm gonna keep it real with you, with you. Here's
some real advice with Angela Yee. It's Ask Yee.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Whoa.
Hey.
Hi, Yee. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. I'm such a huge fan. And I'm whispering because my husband is sleepy. He just came home from work. But this is a secret that my son expressed to me that he wants to keep a secret.
Okay.
So my son, he just turned 10.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that he may like boys and girls.
Okay. And what did you say?
So I don't. I told him no matter what that I will love him. And whatever decision he makes, I'm going to stand next to him. But I'm not sure if what he's feeling is correct or any, like, I don't know. I need help with this. I'm not outside. I'm handling it good with him, and I'm trying to keep our relationship. You know, I want him to come to me.
Right, for anything.
About anything, mm-hmm. But inside, I'm, like, kind of panicking, and I don't, you know, like, I'm going back and forth with myself.
Well, what are you panicking about?
Because number one, he's a young black man already.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just to be open, and he's already being bullied. He's already has mental health issues. And, you know, it's just tough out here for him. So mm-hmm. one more stigma on top of that is just, you know.
Right.
He's already expressed in the third grade that he wanted to commit suicide.
Wow. It sounds
I'm thinking, like, maybe this is, you know, what everything was that he was hiding, you know?
Right.
Like,
yes, because it is painful to have these things that you want to hide. You don't want people to know. It's great that he felt like he could tell you.
Yes, that's what I told him.
Right, and start expressing that to you. And you have to keep those lines of communication open. I think your response was amazing. And I understand that you are concerned because that's your child. So you don't want him to be out in this world where people can be really nasty and cruel. And
exactly.
Right. So
and he expressed to me that he does like a boy in school. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, like I don't know how to handle everything. Like this is a lot. Like, he's only 10. Is he too young to have these feelings? Is he, you know, like, is this something that's normal? Is this going to change? I have so many questions. Like, I need help.
And you know what, honey? There's nobody that can even answer all those questions for you because he probably doesn't even understand everything right now. He just knows how he's feeling, and at least he's able to express how he's feeling, and that's all he can do. Now, have you got him some professional help, somebody that he could speak to so that they can help him navigate, and maybe both of you should go.
Right,
I think
I've not done that far. You mm-hmm. know, like, I'm still kind of in shock. He just expressed this to me 2 days ago.
Right.
So I'm just, like, still trying to, you know, see, like, I don't want him to, you know, feel like he can't trust me, but I don't want him to, he's only 10, and I don't want him to start reacting on these feelings, and, you know, like, I don't know. And then he's also expressing to me, like, you know, please don't tell my dad and don't tell this person. And, you know, like, I just, he's scared of everyone's reaction.
Right. So, and you should respect that, of course. And you are.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, don't tell anybody else. But definitely go set up something for you guys to find somebody good to talk to. If you hold on the line, I actually have somebody that can be really helpful with that. And that would be Dr. Kendall Jasper, and I always refer people to him when we're in situations and I feel like this is dire, because I want you to be able to know how to deal with this. I'm not an expert in that, but I do feel like what you've done so far has been amazing as a mom, and I know that I want you to be able to express to him in the best way possible how much you love him, how much you care about him,
and also
help him learn what he needs to do in order to be more comfortable and not have feelings of suicide, because that's major too. You don't want him to ever think about that again.
That's my worst fear.
All right, hold on the line. I'm going to hook you up with Dr.
Thank
Kendall
you so
Jasper.
Much, Yee. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Damn. That's ASCII. 1-800-585-1051. You can call up at ASCII, whatever you want to talk to her about. It's The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Pick it up, bro.
It's time to ask CNE.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask CNE. You can ask us anything you want. 800-585-1051. Hello, who's this?
Hi, my name is Ashley.
Ashley, what's your question for CNE?
Ashley, how you doing, Ashley?
Right. I'm good. All right, so I'm 29. I've been separated for 3 years, married for 5, and I recently found out that my ex or my whatever, my ex-husband, that he is bisexual.
Okay. He likes men and women.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, his behavior has changed and like we kind of don't know how to deal with each other. It's more or less like he's acting like a real beast. Like, now I got to deal with a female, and before it was a whole different person.
Well, listen, time out. I don't like your attitude about this, and I'm going to tell you why. You know how that makes people act, right? You done started acting funny because you was getting some good D, okay? So you should be able to relate to that man even more now. That shouldn't drive y'all apart.
Oh, God. Listen, so my question is, how do I get him to be a little bit more easy? How do I deal with him in terms, like, how do I be patient? Because I don't power women. Like, I don't know how to...
He's not a woman. He's a man. You got to deal with him the same way.
Exactly. He's just a traumatized person. Stop looking at it from a gender perspective and just think from the perspective of being traumatized. You've been there. You can relate. You need to look that man in his eyes and say, look, man, I understand how that good D can get you, but you acting funny with me, son.
Yeah.
Oh,
good luck, though. God. Good luck.
I don't understand why this is such a complicated conversation. Now y'all got more in common. You like penis, he likes penis.
It's different when you were really dealing with someone and now they're changed. Like,
Or maybe you have changed. Maybe you feel a way now because you understand that he's just not giving D to you.
Have you ever been bisexual? You ever been with a woman?
Of course. I am, actually, from the beginning.
Oh, my God!
Wow.
So y'all both share the best of both worlds.
Both
he like
around.
Penis and poom-poom.
You can't be mad
you
at
like
him.
You like penis and poom-poom.
He might
what is
feel
the
same
problem?
Way.
You hating, yo. You hating because he's getting more D than you nowadays.
You
that's
are
the
hater.
Problem.
That's, you sound like a hater.
You a hater, yo. You a hater. You a hater. I'm going to be
hater.
With you.
Goodness gracious. Ask CNE. 800-585-1051. If you a hater, we'll take your calls, too. Hello, who's this?
I said my name is Anonymous.
Hey, Anonymous. What's your question for CNE?
I don't get it. We're on the radio. Nobody can see you, but whatever. You can give a fake name.
I know, but my name is just so unique. You know, I just can't do it. So
you think Beyonce is a unique name?
Go ahead. What's your question, Mama?
I'm glad I got y'all to today. It's a good question.
What's up?
Okay, so I've been with my boyfriend we're in our 10th year right
10
now.
10 years. Congratulations.
Oh, you know, thanks. We have 3 kids together.
Okay.
And when we first started dating, we both established that we didn't want to get married. It was just like, I think we were both young and it was, hey, we just dating, let's have fun. We didn't see that we'd be together 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So now my values have changed and I want to get married.
Oh.
And he's in that, why fix something that
ain't
that's
broken.
Not broken? Yeah. But I'm looking at it more on a, you know, showing your kids that you value your relationship. And legal standpoints, too, is if anything ever happens to me or him, we can't go in a room. We're not allowed there. We have no say-so, but we know what's best for each other.
I agree.
So,
but
the thing is,
but he came in this relationship not thinking that he didn't want to get married, and you knew that, and you didn't want to get married. You changed up. He ain't changed up.
You sound just like my best friend. He a dude too. But the thing is, your values change. And
that's
when
true.
Your kids start to ask you,
why y'all don't got the same last name?
Exactly.
Happened to me.
Exactly. So we went looking for houses, and my daughter said, Mommy, in the next house we go in, you can't come in because you're not a blank. She said their last name.
Wow.
And it, like, hurt my heart. Yeah, but she was only, like, 3 or 4.
Did you have that conversation with him? He still doesn't want to get married.
Yes, but the thing is, I don't want to continue to push because I don't want him to feel obligated. I don't want a man to marry me out of obligation. I want him to marry me because he feels like we have the same values.
Right, but, you know, you already went into this relationship and this union thinking that you didn't want to get married. He didn't want to get married. He was cool with that. What's the reason he doesn't want to get married?
He's just saying, like, what does a piece of paper do for us? We know that we're both for each other and we're going to be together forever. He's on the black man don't cheat. He does not cheat.
Good.
I know this. But the thing is, it's just like, for him, it's like, why?
I'm going to tell you something. I think, you know, I'm sure he loves you. I'm sure he wants to be with you for the rest of his life. But yeah, that's the thing. When your kids come to you and your kids say, why y'all don't have the same last name? Like, you know, I do believe that marriage is just a piece of paper. And y'all are already married because y'all are tied into soul.
Correct.
But I do like the fact. I do like I like making it official. I think he should make it official. But, you know, I can't tell him to marry you. I can only tell him to find somebody to share his life experiences with. But he already got that. So it's really
he tells me that all the time. He's like, hey, I want to be with you. You're the person I want. I don't want to be with anybody else. But he just doesn't see the reason why. Hey, we've been together this long. It's been working.
You should tell him the reason is because you want to.
Tell him you want to. And your kids. Your kids need that as well.
I'm all about making my woman happy. Happy wife, happy life. So tell him you want to. Don't even make it like negotiable. Be like, y'all really want to get married. When he asks you what you want for Christmas, I want to get married. What you want for your birthday? I want to get married. What you want for Valentine's? I want to get married.
Like, you're crying too much.
So why don't you just ask him one good time? Why don't you ask him? Why don't you get a ring and be like, I want you to be my husband?
Don't do that.
Hell no.
Don't do that.
I'm sorry. Don't do that.
You just go curse on the radio?
I would never do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
I'm not about to be a Christian Jim Jones situation. Mm-mm.
I don't think there's anything wrong with letting him know that's what you want, though. And if he really, really loves you, and he really, because it's going to come a point in time where he can't give you, he can buy you a house, he can buy you purses, all that stuff.
And he's done all that. He bought me a house. We both own our own businesses. He supports my business so much. Mm-hmm. And it's just like.
You want that ring.
That's the only thing that I want. I don't even need, the thing is, I can get one of those little rings you go work out with that's like silicone. I don't need the big jewel. I just want to be able to share the last name and we be a united front.
You need to go on Tidal and make you a marriage playlist. So when y'all in the car, just songs be playing like Let's Get Married, Beyonce, if you like it, then you put a ring on it. Just all these songs that got to do with marriage. Just keep beating it in his head. Eventually he'll come around.
He listens to y'all all day, so y'all tell him to marry me.
What's his name?
She won't say.
His name is Dwight.
Dwight. Get married, Dwight.
Yes, King.
Or what you do is you wait right when y'all having sex, right when he's about to and you stop right there and you be like, this is only for a married man, and just walk out.
What? Listen, no, Dwight, for real, get married. I promise you, when you get married, your life will change, man. And not only when you get married and you a faithful black man, I promise you, your life will transform in ways that you can't even explain. I can't even explain to you the joy that I feel in my life.
Your
right
penis
now.
Gets bigger when you get married.
Oh, yeah. Get married, Dwight. Marry me, Dwight.
All right,
Dwight. All right, Dwight. Do what's right, Dwight.
Do what's right, Dwight.
Do what's right, Dwight.
Do what's right, Dwight.
All right.
I'm with that.
All right, well, don't move. Happy holidays. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
All right, Charlamagne, you got a positive note for the people?
I do. Positive note is simple, man. What's broken can be mended. What hurts can be healed. And no matter how dark it gets, the sun is going to rise again.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.